The text for the sermon is the second commandment. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, remember that a man's name is to him the sweetest and most important sound in any language. There's a quote from a perennial bestseller, Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Want to win friends? Remember their name. And maybe you remember going, let's say, to a car dealership, and the salesperson there is greeting you, introducing himself, asking about your name, and then presenting cars to you, and repeating your name over and over again. Why does he do it? Well, he knows you like it when you hear your name. Because when somebody says your name, that means that this person is interested in us. In a sense, we feel flattered. We get attention. On the other hand, well, imagine yourself being in a congregation as the pastor or a deaconess, and you don't learn the names of the people in your congregation. You can get away with that for a short time, but after a while, people will really get ticked off. Pastor still doesn't know our names. And they think that shows that you don't really care. That for you, they're all just faces without names, but you don't even make the effort to learn their name. Well, maybe that's not true. Maybe you just have an extremely bad memory. But that's not a good excuse, and people will rather think you don't care. So we take our name seriously, but God is quite particular about his name. Now, not because he craves our attention or because he needs to be flattered when we call upon him. God is neither vain nor bored. Rather, he reveals his name to us for a specific purpose, and he wants us to use his name for that end. God does care about us taking him seriously, because he wants us to live with him in eternity. And whoever misuses God's name shows that he does not respect and trust and honor God. For example, when God's name is turned into a curse, the very purpose for which it is given is turned in its opposite. His name is misused. God, as an exclamation, is really short for, well, another exclamation, God damn him or God damn his. It's a curse. You call upon a person the wrath of God. You want him condemned by God. God becomes the great punisher who works for you, the heavenly bouncer. Is that how we want to talk about God? My big man, I'm calling upon him. Is life like schoolyard? Where you tell the bully, my big brother will get to you. That's not how we should talk about God. That should not be how we talk about, we use God's name, and neither should we use Jesus in such a name, in such a way. Another abuse of name is identity theft. Quite a few people are scared of that, that somebody gets hold of their name, birth date, and the all-important social security number, and then starts ordering credit cards or doing all kinds of other criminal ruses. And at the end, their good name is ruined, their credit score is in the negative, and their life is shattered or maybe even destroyed. No wonder people get mad about identity theft. Well, God too gets upset when his name is taken and put on something else, when his identity is stolen and now a fake God presents himself. When his name is put on some idol or on some scheme to make money, when churches and pastors use God's name as a money maker, when they coax people into giving up their money all for the greater glory of God, but really to fill their closets with clothes and to finance those posh vacations. When God's name is used to enslave people, to take away their evangelical freedom and bind them with human laws. Everywhere where God's word is adulterated and false doctrine presented as God's word, there his name is hijacked. There is an identity theft. And God's good name is abused and besmirched. How often in church history has God's name been desecrated? Not only by atheists, not only by unbelievers, but by the churches themselves. When they use God's name to justify so-called holy wars, when they use his name to justify the killing of dissenters, all those things your college friends who were skeptical of Christianity told you. Oh, Christians, look at them. Look what was done in the name of God. Yes, yes, that was done. That is something that broke the second commandment. How much is God's name abused by church leaders who claim God's authority, but are not following God's word and will, but rather are peddling their own ideas and just put the sticker God on it. And don't be fooled. It's not just those people out there, those liberals or whatever they are. We are in the same danger. We are in the same danger that we cloak our ideas and desires with the name of God. That's what our sinful flesh wants to do. That's why you have to be careful and self-critical and listen to God's word continually and listen to the counsel of your brothers, that you don't fall in the same trap we see over and over again when we look at the history of the church. So how then are we to use God's name? Again, why does God give his name to us? Because we don't know him. We don't know the name. That's why he gives it to us. He has to introduce himself to us. In this fallen world, we, who are by nature sinful, do not know who the true God is. And the result is we fall into idolatry. Therefore, God has to identify and reveal himself. So he reveals himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He reveals himself to Moses as the one who is who he is. And finally, Christ reveals him as his Father and our Father. So God introduces himself to us so that we can call upon him as our Father. That we can call upon him and say, Abba, dear Father, in all our needs, in all our anxiety, in all peril, as we heard today in the reading, the blind men call upon Jesus, Son of David. They call, help us, and they are helped. And so we call upon God, our Father. We call upon Jesus, help us. But we also use his name in joy and in thanksgiving for all the good things he has bestowed on us. Because he is our Father. Everything we have and are comes from him. That's quite a reason to say thank you. And thank you quite often. Faith in the end is nothing but acknowledging that everything we have and everything we need comes from God. that He takes care of us for all the things in this life and for everything we need in the life of the world to come. That He is our gracious Father on account of Christ. Thus, we live in the presence and before God every minute. In calling upon Him, we acknowledge Him to be the source of all our blessings and the helper in all our trouble. Of course, we can't say God's name every second. We can't have God's name on our lips every minute of our life. And therefore, it is a good custom that we at least punctuate the main stations of the day by prayer, by invoking God's name in petition and praise. Of course, like everything else, this too can become an empty routine, and at the end, people can use the name of God thoughtlessly. But I would guess that for most of us, the problem is not that we are engaged in some kind of incessant babbling masquerading at prayer, but rather our problem is that we have a silence toward God, a silence toward God that is broken all too rarely by prayer. God wants you to talk. Jesus drives out the demon, and the mouth of the demon possessed is opened, and he talks. Sinners don't talk to God, they talk to idols. When they look at God, they are mute. In baptism, we have received the name of the triune God. We have been made His children. As such, we talk to our dear Heavenly Father. That's what the second commandment is all about, that we talk to Him, our Father, as He has talked to us first. That's why God gave His name to us. Amen.